Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is the podcast page, that at Know Your Role Player underscore podcast. Excuse me. The best way that you can listen to this podcast, download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/knowyourroleplayer. Now, whatever music device that you listen to, a podcast app, whether Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or more, you will get notifications like the currently episode is currently on. All right, guys, welcome back. Today is Monday, April 1st. All right, April Fool's. Now let's talk about the I guess elephant in the room. I hate that saying, by the way. So you didn't have a pod for me in a little bit of a while. I want to give some clarity on that. I don't like to duck things. I haven't had a pod in about 2 weeks. The current recording studio that I'm at now was not available. Now, I have other places I could record. It sounded really bad. So I said, you know what? I could put out some bad product and just get something out there, or I could put out nothing. And I was stuck 50-50 on that. But neither here nor there, we are back today. So this is what I got to do. I'm going to keep it light, but not too light, because there are some old topics that I have to say something on, but I don't want to get into deep detail, because the thing with NBA news is it is ever going. So first things first, and the most important news that made my heart smile, Joel Embiid not returning Tuesday. They keep saying return Tuesday. He got ruled out earlier, so I think he's coming at some point, maybe Friday or Saturday. I know OKC would be a great team, but even the fact that he is cleared and he's practicing with the team, wow. Okay, so one, I don't want to say an injury is a blessing in disguise, because a meniscus injury is never a good thing, and depending on what type of meniscus surgery you can do, it can really affect your career. So I think this is Embiid's second meniscus surgery. Let's talk about it. So Wolf says, the return of Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid is imminent and could come as soon as Tuesday night against the Oklahoma City. Now, he's been ruled out. Embiid has been out since January 30th. Yo, I'm not going to lie to y'all. It seemed way longer than that. Has been delivering in the final preparations to return from his left meniscus surgery, ramping up his conditioning in recent days to rejoin the Eastern Conference playoff chase. The 76ers are 40-35 in the AFC Conference with 7 games remaining. Wow, I didn't know there was 7 games left. That's crazy. The Sixers play the Thunder on Tuesday, Miami Heat on Thursday, and Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday. All right. So obviously, as you know, that Embiid only has played 34 games. You have to participate in 70% of the games, so he will not be eligible. But that's okay. And I talked about a minute ago about being a blessing in disguise. And while it's not that, because injuries always suck, the weird thing is, like, I ain't going to lie, Joel Embiid is kind of Chris Paulish, where he has, like, an injury every year. And if you can just say, like, all right, well, this was the injury this year, it wasn't that bad, and he's going to come back, all right, that's cool. Now, in his absence, the Sixers did do a good job, and it's kind of weird because some players are playing well and some players aren't. And this is an interesting Sixers team, right? So obviously, as Maxey is the number two, I still think it's a lot for Maxey to do it by himself when Embiid isn't there. And the biggest key is getting another player, because it's going to be in games where Embiid doesn't play, right? But Kyle Lowry has been really good. His decision-making, you know, is taking charges. He's a really solid veteran. Nicholas Batum has also been really solid. And the Sixers, I ain't going to say they've been holding down the fort, because we were better where we left, but obviously we're not good without Joel Embiid. I tell people that all the time. But yeah, so let's talk about it. Last night, if I can bring up the game, the Sixers defeated the Toronto Raptors 135-120. Now, Maxey did miss this game. So this is kind of crazy. Give me 1 second, y'all. All right, and so in returning and back into Toronto, the city he won a championship, Kyle Lowry, to me, was absolutely amazing. He finishes with 10 assists, 11 points. Oh, it's funny because he literally hit a bunch of threes. 3 out of 5 from the three-point line. Doesn't take a lot of shots, but very efficient. Cameron Payne has been good. I know when the Sixers fans got really mad, I had mixed feelings on it. I was upset, but I wasn't too upset. I'm going to give Daryl Morey a little credit. Y'all know I'm not a big Daryl Morey or Elton Brand fan, but the trading of Patrick Beverley for Cameron Payne has been solid. Payne can shoot. He got a funny hitch shot, but he can hit them shots, man. And I don't know. He's bringing a little scoring punch into our bench, man. He's 6-for-10 from the three-point line with 24 points. Kelly Oubre playing the game of his life. Not the game of his life, but playing phenomenal. 6 out of 11 from the three-point line. 7 rebounds. Yo, 3 assists is big for Kelly Oubre because he went from not passing at all. And Tobias Harris was very efficient. And that's all we can ask from Tobias Harris, who's been very up and down this season. He finishes with 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists. Yo, with Tobias, I kind of have just accepted whatever he gives us. Nicholas Batum, also great off the bench. 5 out of 6 from the three-point line. You know, the Sixers being 24 for 43 is basically the story of this game. Kyle Lowry did whatever he wanted. The Sixers got a ton of three-point shots. On the other side, a ton of injuries for the Raptors. Obviously, we know that RJ Barrett is not playing because his brother passed. He's out indefinitely for personal, so we're praying for him. You know, they're just missing a bunch of starters, you know. So, Kelly Olynyk had 18, Bryce Brown. Yo, this is kind of a throwaway season for Toronto. And again, the Sixers are supposed to beat bad teams. That's what they're going to do. There are 7 games left, so I'm very excited. Very, very excited for the end of the season awards show. I'll be hosting it by myself. That'll be long, all right? That'll be about an hour long. But that was pretty cool, man. The Sixers did what needed to be done, all right? Yo, last night, right? And I just want to talk about the NBA for a second before I get into some topics. Last night, I'm gonna just say that I think it was the best night in the NBA season, right? So we had stars galore. We had three-pointers going off. We had high-scoring games. I mean, we have 2 teams that scored 130. Dallas with 125. Kings with 127. We had offense. None of the games were like, well, we had a game-winning shot. Last night, I just want to talk about last night because I'm going to say I think last night was the best slate of the season on Sunday, March 31st. We can kind of skip past the Nuggets and the Cavaliers. The Nuggets are doing what they're supposed to do, playing a team like Cleveland. They're beating up on them, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. But, yo, let me get into the Lakers game. So I talked about before about LeBron's improved mechanics. Let me give LeBron a little love. I want y'all to understand something about LeBron. With me, I'm objective with LeBron. I am not a LeBron hater. I know it can sound like it. I'm just objective. So if he does something corny, I know y'all think it's taboo to say, I'll say. But with that being said, LeBron James' three-point shot has been really good this season, and he went off last night, okay? Yo, 9 out of 10 from the three-point line. Hey, listen, 5 out of 6 from the free throw line. Efficient, all right? 13 out of 17 overall in 37 minutes with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Man, I tell you, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. LeBron is impressive. I'm getting tired of people saying you don't take him for granted because I don't think people take LeBron for granted. I think that's like the one player we don't take for granted. Like, he has a ton of fans. He gets his love. I don't get that. But again, you should enjoy the moment. I'll say that. You should definitely enjoy the moment. 40-point games, trashing the Brooklyn Nets like he always does. And it's kind of funny because I thought he would kind of fall back and like D'Angelo Russell cook. Now, D'Angelo Russell did play well in 32 minutes, 4 out of 11 from the three-point line. Finishes with 18 points and 6 assists. Really efficient game. But listen, when it comes to the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to be pretty consistent as far as scoring. So you're going to need the swing player. And the swing player to me is the role player who kind of steps up and carries that third scoring role and really takes the team over the top. For the last couple of weeks, it's been Austin Reeves, but he was really cold today. He actually finished with 12 points. It was Rui Hachimura. He gets a double-double in 37 minutes and now starting 20 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. So here's the thing with Hachimura. I don't know. Davis keeps crying about playing center, but I think this is a very exploitable lineup, Davis, Hachimura, and LeBron. It doesn't have a lot of versatility in it. But against teams like Brooklyn and a lot of teams, they should beat up on it, all right? I am off the Lakers bandwagon. again, they will have their moments, but I no longer, again, I thought they were going to win the championship, honestly. I thought their defense was going to be elite, but their shooting has been terrible. I still think LeBron James is going to wear them in the playoffs. But that's not what it's about right now. What it's about is celebrating LeBron's greatness and the Lakers winning. Again, ridiculous shooting, efficient as always. And it's just, yo, it's fun to watch, man. Again, for a guy that came into the league with no jump shot to go 9 out of 10 from the three-point line, the one thing I'll always give LeBron credit on is he worked on his game. You know, the thing about greatness is it's always another level to go. So when you hear me talk about guys like Zion and Luka and SGA, or Embiid, or any star player, there's always more you can do. And, like, with LeBron, I think he tapped his ceiling. Like, he did what he was supposed to do. He got better at every level, every year. He never took the game for granted. He dedicated himself, you know, and he chose the path of greatness. And I think that's important. Now, whether y'all think he's the best player of all time or not, I could really care less. It's a fun conversation, but ain't going to be wasting my breath with that. All right, but let's keep it moving. All right, but again, kudos to LeBron. Salute to the king. Yo, let's keep it moving. So if you remember before the season, Brandon Miller of the Charlotte Hornets was saying how Paul George was his favorite player, and it was really cool on Paul George's podcast. You know, he was giving each other love, and he was basically saying he is the Tracy McGrady of our generation, which is pretty heavy words and very heavy for me because T-Mac was my dog. Yo, so they played last night, right? And you want to know how it went? Yo, Paul George, 41 points, 8 out of 12 from the three-point line, 5 out of 5 from the free-throw line, 14 to 21 overall. Yo, they went back and forth at it all day. This game was actually pretty competitive. I got to give Charlotte a lot of credit, and I got to give Brandon Miller a lot of credit. They're not good. They really got two people that can score. And those two people kept this game close, and they kind of competed the whole game. They were never going to win this game. Harden's been in a kind of a weird funk, man. Yo, James Harden finishes, well, he shot three times. I don't know, 1 out of 3 from the three-point line, 3 out of 4 from the field goal line, had 6 rebounds and 10 assists. Harden's numbers have been kind of a little weird lately, but I'm going to keep my eye on that. But listen, back to Brandon Miller and Paul George. Miles Bridges did play phenomenal as well. 7 three-pointers, 33 points. But again, I wanted to talk about Brandon Miller because this was kind of his moment. He talked about playing Paul George, and it's kind of funny. You know, you remember when Iverson plays Jordan back in the day with the crazy crossover? There's two ways to go about it. Sometimes guys are timid, and sometimes good guys go right at him. And I think he got up for the challenge, and I think Paul George equally got up for the challenge. And it was a very fun game, man. A lot of back and forth, a lot of three-pointers. And it really sucks that LaMelo Ball, which I think last week got ruled out for the season because Brandon Miller is it. All right? Listen, after number one and Victor Wembanyama going number one, it is so important that Michael Jordan's last pick and his last leaving legacy of the Charlotte Hornets was drafting Brandon Miller. Jordan made the right pick, all right? Because besides Wembanyama, who's an anomaly, he's the second best player in the draft. And again, he'd be the first in most other drafts, but the guy at the top is just something we've never seen before. But a really cool game, like I said. So this is another game where two guys go off. So that trend continues, though, right? All right, so then we go to, I already talked about the Sixers game. We go to the Heat and Wizards from last night. So listen, from last night in the Heat and Wizards, Terry Rozier, all right? The one thing about the Heat, they're going to win games, they're going to beat bad teams. I haven't been as impressed with them, but I know that they're always going to be there at the end, but it's important for them to get healthy. Again, Terry Rozier really coming into his own, 11 out of 19 from the field goal line, 5 out of 11 from the three-point line, with 27 points, had a game high in points, very efficient, a plus 20 on a plus minus. Bam Adebayo with 22 and 10. Jimmy Butler kind of fell back a little bit. 17, 7, and 5. Just efficient game from everybody, you know. And on the other side, no Kyle Kuzma, no chance. I'm going to be honest with you. Without Kyle Kuzma, and again, they're better with him, but I thought they'd put up a pretty good fight. Jordan Poole is playing better. The ball is back in his hands, and I think that's important too. And again, y'all remember, I never sold my Jordan Poole stock, all right? I want y'all to remember that. I never, ever sold it. Never, never, never. All right. As ugly as it got last season, I never sold it again. But this game wasn't too special. I just thought that the key to this game was Terry Rozier being aggressive, being the guy that the Heat need to beat him to, and just doing what he need to be doing, being aggressive in that win. All right. Yo, but the, like I said, there's more games, right? So then we go to the next game. Thunder and the Knicks. This was definitely the game of the night. So SGA, after missing a few games from off with that thigh, comes back and return in 35 minutes, finishes with 19 points and 2 assists and 3 rebounds. So you're like, yo, that's not an SGA. That ain't the MVP. But he hit the game-winning shot. Come on now. Stop playing with my dog. And yo, real quick, I'm going to get to Luka in a second, and I'm going to get to Jokic. Do you know who has the best record in the Western Conference and the second best record in the NBA? It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? That's all you need to know. He is the MVP. Jokic's team is so much better than him, all right? I'm going to say that I believe that Denver's team is probably, not Denver, Dallas's team is probably better than OKC without them, because you still have Kyrie as your second best player. Again, he makes a decent team good. And again, they're contending. They are legit contending. And he is the reason why. All season, been clutch, hitting big shots. Just come back off an injury. Another game-winning shot in your face. I know Knicks fans are crying about the refs, but ref schmefs. All right? Refs going ref. Did you do your job? All right? With that being said, a couple of other things. Yo, listen. I got to give credit where it's due. Josh Giddey hooping. All right? 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists, 7 out of 11, very efficient game, triple-double, in fact, I just peeped it, and Jalen Williams, 33 points, 1 out of 4 from the 3-point line, but super aggressive in his scoring, and a game that the Knicks really played well. You know, Brunson, after coming up that big 60-point game, yo, I'm going to say this now, Brunson is going to make second-team All-NBA, and if it wasn't for guys just being out of this world, he would have had a shot at first. But second-team All-NBA for Jalen Brunson is ridiculous, man, because Julius Randle hasn't been there. And honestly, after hearing Josh Hart's post-game comments, I don't think he's going to be there. Josh, oh my goodness, Josh Hart finished with a – no, he didn't finish with a triple-double. He has 15 rebounds. Yo, real quick, I want y'all to name me a better role player than Josh Hart. All right, I took a second for y'all to think about it. Whenever y'all get one, let me know who y'all think is a better role player than Josh Hart, because he's been absolutely ridiculous, man. Isaiah Hartenstein finishing with 17 points. But again, this is a back-and-forth game all game. And again, OKC's ability to find ways to win games. They finished with 23-14 record on the road and improved to 52-22. Probably the game of the night. So if you didn't get a chance to, I would definitely go look back on this game, whether it be on YouTube or NBA.com, and check it out. So it doesn't stop there, all right? So then the next game we got is the Dallas Mavericks and the Rockets. And this was the Luka show. I don't know if they know that they're like neck and neck for the MVP along with Jokic, but I had a feeling that Luka was going to score about 40 points. I ain't going to say 47. I thought he was going to score 40. He'd probably get the triple-double if the game was a little bit more competitive, but Luka was ridiculous last night. 47 points, 9 out of 16. He looks healthy again, having fun. Probably hit some of the craziest shots pregame I've ever seen in my life. 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 9 out of 16 from the 3-point line. So another insane outlier game. Just ridiculous. Kyrie Irving assists is within 27 points and 7 assists. And what this game was like, it was two things. You know, when I look at the Rockets, they're just kind of fighting and trying to make the play-in tournament, and they just want to be a respectable team. It's about culture change. It's about Udoka just kind of turning over this new leaf of the Rockets basketball. And Dallas on the other side is dangerous, man. Like, if they can be solid on offense, solid on defense, the offense is going to give teams the business, right? We talk about teams that do and don't have an identity. The one thing I'm going to give Dallas is an identity, all right? How do you want it, all right? That's the Dallas Mavericks. Because either Luka's going to give it to you in the business, or you're going to help off of Luka and it's going to be three-point bombs on your head, or it's both, right? You pick whichever one you want to choose. Either way, you're finna take this L, all All right. So the Mavericks snap an 11-game winning streak. Pretty rough night overall for Jalen Green. 5 out of 15, 0 out of 5 from the three-point line. He never does play well against Dallas. I did note that. At a minus 25, Fred VanVleet also struggled with 10 points. But the one good bright spot from Houston was Jabari Smith, 28 points, 5 out of 5 from the free throw line, 5 out of 7 from the three-point line. So he has been the one big bright spot. It's kind of funny, though, right? Because they don't – I'm not going to say they run offense for him because they don't, but he still gets his. And I would love to see this team with a Sengun, a Jabari Smith, Tyreek Eason. Next year, they're going to be really fun. But, again, it wasn't happening last night. Luka did whatever he wanted to, came out of the game banging threes, hitting shots. Yo, it was at the three-point line, right? And he kind of gets by his defender. It's like 2 seconds left, and he kind of like a scoop three-point shot. It was the craziest shot I've seen today. And again, I'm not the biggest Luka fan, but it's not about me. When greatness happens, shut up and enjoy it, all right? And there was another game, all right? So again, then we have the Bulls and Timberwolves. I'm not going to do this every day. I just wanted to talk about some games because I know I haven't potted for a while, and it's good to just get back in the flow, all right? The Chicago Bulls defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 109-101. Wow. Okay. So a couple of things. One, the Bulls were dogs in this game and they're kind of just frisky. I don't know what the Bulls are. They're not good, but it is good that they're competing, right? That's very important. I'm surprised that Minnesota lost this game, right? I am. I really am. Anthony Edwards, 22 points. See, that's funny because I say men, but he still played pretty well. 22, 11, and 5. He still played really well. Michael Conley played phenomenal. He always plays well against Chicago. 5 three-pointers, 19 points. Really played an efficient game. Rudy Gobert with 19 and 10, but wasn't enough, man. You're not going to find too many players in NBA history to have more points than DeMar DeRozan, but for some reason, he kind of gets looked past. And I get that his aesthetics and part of his game that some people don't appreciate or his three-point shot. But he has been shooting the three a little bit. He has a game-high 27 points, 8 assists, 1 out of 2 from the three-point line, and 4 out of 7 from the free-throw line. Caruso chipped in with – yo, here's another one. Caruso, 7 threes. Kobe White, 4 threes. The trend of the last night of the 31st of March was just three-point bombs, man. And like I said, there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it and say, oh, the NBA don't play defense like they used to. That's cool, but you still got to hit these shots, man. And this was some pretty impressive performances all across the board last night. And, Chicago did what they needed to be did. They did what they, I'm getting way too excited. They did what they needed to do, all right? Two more games, and I will wrap it up here. So I'll get to the Warriors game last because I have a couple of things I want to talk about in that game. So second to the last game, the Jazz and the Kings. The Kings, they compete hard. They're missing a ton of people, but they still put a good team out on the floor. It wasn't enough. Here's the thing with the Kings. They don't play any defense. They'll give up a ton of three-pointers, but if you don't have a good to really decent offense, you're going to get blown out by them, right? So De'Aaron Fox kind of has a really good game overall, 12 assists, which is big because he doesn't have a lot of high assist games. But it was the three-point shooting again, right? Keegan Murray, remember he scored 12 threes. I don't think it was 12. I think it was 10 threes before versus Utah. He scores 5. Harrison Barnes scores 5. Yo, 5 three-pointers in a game is abnormal, and it happened so many times. And then on the other side, Hendrick scores 4 threes. I cannot pronounce this guy. Ben Subagu. I butchered that name. I really apologize. He scores another 4 threes. This game was back and forth, but they just, I don't know. Utah doesn't play any defense. They'll score with you, but at a certain point, you'll outscore them. They kind of goes into a rut. But forget all that. Forget all that. They did what they needed to be do. I'm really meh on the Kings because, you know, after last year's second round exit to the Golden State Warriors, you look to build off that, right? You look to grow more. And it has been growth. You know, get well soon to my boy Malik Monk. I still think he does secure the sixth man of the year, but that injury sucked because Luka needs to stop flopping. But the thing about the Kings is, as great as their offense was last year, the defense is horrible. And they're not going to trade Sabonis, but they're going to have to put somebody next to Sabonis to kind of make this team, you know, pop off, because I think they have a ceiling. I think they have a ceiling, and without defensive improvements, it's just a 7th or an 8th seed. All right? Now, I want to talk about one more game, a couple of news and notes, and I'll get y'all out of here. The last game, the Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs. Warriors defeat the San Antonio Spurs 117 to 113. All right, so here's the thing. Wembanyama, I want to not be. It just, there's nothing he can't do, right? There's nothing he can't do. And it's just funny seeing it in live time, watching a player just like develop in front of you. Because honestly, towards the beginning of the season, I really wasn't that impressed, honestly. I wasn't that impressed. No, I'm going to take that back. I wasn't that impressed. I thought he just shot too many threes. I felt like he didn't use his size, which is insane. But as the season got on, his jump shot started looking better. He started hunting more shots. He started diving to the rim and demanding the ball. Listen, his team isn't good. And that's the biggest thing to take from Wembanyama, because he scores is way too hard for him to score. Even though he can score, it shouldn't be that hard for somebody that big. It should be a lot easier for him to score. And upgrading the point guard / offensive team is very important next year for the San Antonio Spurs. If it is important for him, because it's the Spurs and they got their own timeline. But he does play a phenomenal game. Again, I have mixed feelings on the three-point line with him. Like 10 threes, I don't know. I want to try to be current, but I just don't think he needs to have 10 threes to just dominate this game. And he was really good. Maybe I can use Jokic as a reference point. Jokic doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but he's very efficient. So Jokic, for most of the part, plays from the mid-post end, sometimes on the left or right block. But every now and then, he goes out to the three-point line. Now, I think he takes about 4 or 5 a game, but he's extremely efficient. And so it's like he's been killing you inside all day. Okay, you find you lacking? I'm going to sit at the top of the key. I'm going to trail on the three-pointer. And I would kind of like that for him, you know, maybe just because, like I said, he really at certain times can impose his will inside, you know. And again, Golden State doesn't have an interior presence, but it was so good to see Wembanyama dominate and get some shots inside. On the other side, Steph Curry had a throwback game. This game got a little funny. It shouldn't have been that close, you know. Curry with 33, 8, and 7 out of 15 from the three-point line. Another big three-point game. But this game was pretty impressive for the Spurs. And again, I got to give credit, because I always talk about the Pistons, who I thought they were going to be better than what they were. I got to give credit for the Spurs, because even though they're bad, they did win into 18 games. And I tell you, 18 isn't a lot, but I look at some of these other teams that are much, I don't know. I think the Spurs are building towards something, right? I think they still have a lot of moving parts to make, but I do like how they play. Again, what do you not love about Wembanyama, man? He's just, he makes about 3 plays that you've never seen before every game. And that's probably the coolest thing about him. That's pretty much it for that. Yo, now, a couple of news and notes. So last week, or the week before, Draymond had Isaiah Thomas on his podcast. And this is real quick. He talked about that people talked about the Golden State legacy and how Kevin Durant saved their legacy. Because remember, they win a championship in 15 and they lose in 2016. They blow the biggest lead in NBA history 3-1, right? And if you kind of think about it, if they don't go get Kevin Durant and if they kind of take that team, okay, they probably get back to the finals. But to me, the Cavs are better than them from that point on. And you got to think, how much different is history if the Warriors and Cavs just stayed the same teams from 15 and just kind of kept competing? You know, the fact that the cap spiked and you had cap space to sign Kevin Durant, upgrading from Harrison Barnes, who couldn't hit no open shots, it was just ridiculous. But it's kind of funny because Draymond, for the last, you know, after Draymond had a suspension, Kevin Durant had some words for him, and Draymond's been shading Durant pretty good. And like I said, remember when we had that meeting between them two and the media did it? It ain't the media. Both of these guys feel how they feel. I feel a lot of times the Warriors and Warriors fan bases try to dismiss what Durant did, when in reality, he kind of bridged it. Now, the last championship with the defeating the Boston Celtics, that was kind of like No, we are one of the greatest teams ever. And the Curry, Thompson, and Draymond is one of the big greatest duos ever, just because as long as they play together, they have consistently won and won championships at the highest level, right? And the win against Boston was just big for Steph because, you know, people did say it. I don't think it meant anything, but it did mean something because Steph said it. You know, being the finals MVP, you know, single-handedly being the reason why your team wins the finals and being the best player on the floor with a lot of good players. Because, again, I'm going to keep saying the Warriors were not a better team than that Boston. Now, can the better team win? But I just thought that Boston should have beat the Warriors. And them kind of stealing a championship away from the Celtics, man. NBA history consistently changes, right? But back to Draymond, man. So Draymond, you know, he says what he says about Durant. They have a back and forth. And Isaiah Thomas, I got to shout out to Isaiah Thomas. He said a couple of things. Now, I want to say something. If Michael Jordan's the GOAT, right, and Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time, why do people dismiss everything Isaiah Thomas says? Now, I want to preface this by Isaiah Thomas doesn't think Michael Jordan's the GOAT. He played against him. That is his opinion. Is Isaiah Thomas a hater? Maybe. But does he have a right to feel his way? Yeah, because you played against the guy that everybody said, you know, who's this? Oh, he walks on water. He's unstoppable. You know, so I like to hear from perspectives that aren't the norm. You know, I won't even say contrarian because it's valid, you know. And again, he said another thing. He said that Steph Curry wasn't the point guard that Draymond was. Now, Draymond kind of scoffed it off, but he was like, yo, Draymond, you bring the ball up and you initiate the action, and then Steph comes off. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never the guy to disagree how great of a player that Steph is. But Steph's passing hasn't been the greatest to me. Like, sometimes his passing drives me crazy. He get very lackadaisical with the ball. He's efficient when he's hunting his shots, when he's being aggressive, and when he can find others based off of the defense adjusting it to him. That's when he's great. I don't think he's a great, like, I'm about to come down and I'm make sure everybody gets the ball. You know, he is a point guard. I think he is, but again, Isaiah Thomas says on the team that Draymond is a point guard. So it was just some interesting back and forth dynamics that I thought about. So the next thing I want to talk about is LeBron and J.J. Redick. All right, so it's twofold to look at this. One, I am a fan of basketball, and I want to preface this by saying, if you think what you get from my podcast, you'll probably say reaction. I'm never call myself an analyst. You know, I'm a fan of the game. I talk about the game from a fan perspective, but I can put insight and real basketball knowledge into the game. It's a balance of both, you know, to me, right? But I'm 50-50 with this podcast, right? Because you got to really love basketball. Listen, thinking basketball, there are tons of B-ball breakdown. There are tons of just analyst basketball with a breakdown praise, breakdown sets, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal. And in that sense, J.J. Redick and LeBron James are great basketball minds. But the thing about this podcast is I appreciate it because it's a different perspective, but there's not going to be not yet any challenging discourse in there. You know, they talked about screens on how J.J. Correa came off of screens. They talked about LeBron. They talked about a lot of cool things. And again, I'm going to enjoy it and keep watching it. And I do think it's really cool that LeBron does have a podcast. Again, I am pro player podcast. Who better to talk about the game than the people who actually played it? But sometimes they don't always be giving it up. And sometimes that brotherhood of the NBA can kind of stop you. I'm going to be honest with you. J.J. Redick ain't going to challenge LeBron with no real questions. He's always going to be seen in his best light, kind of like with the Ben Simmons thing. But again, I do appreciate the beauty and the basketball mind of Redick and LeBron, where you can kind of appreciate the game. And again, I do think it's important to see the game from different sides, all right? All right. I'm not going to give y'all too much more. Now, yo, I know this is a basketball podcast, but there is basketball, women's college basketball on tonight. I want to say all right, let me be honest with y'all. I do not watch the WNBA. I'm going to try to start watching this year. I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast just because I'm getting into it, right? With that being said, women's college basketball has been absolutely ridiculous, and I know they are all happy about these matchups. So you get a rematch of LSU and Iowa and UConn and USC. Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins, you know, we just going to have it, you know. So I'm going to have my picks because this is probably the bigger game tonight. I'll do NBA picks, but the NBA slate tonight looks terrible. LSU and Iowa, I'm going to be honest with you, as much as I like Caitlin and Iowa, I'm going with LSU to win. I just think they're more versatile. I think they have a more complete team. UConn and USC, I love Juju. I really do. Juju Watkins is the truth. She's very special. I think USC is a better team, though. So we're going to talk about this. I'm watching both of these games. I'm actually running out of here now to watch both of these games. I do my NBA picks. I've been kind of hit or miss on these. The Celtics and Hornets, obviously, we all know that the Celtics are going to blow the Hornets out. The Grizzlies and Pistons. All right, so here's the thing with this game. The Pistons should win. They're at home. They have most of their starters there. They do have all their starters. They're missing a couple of veterans, a couple of key shooters, but they have enough to beat this team. Detroit should win. Nets and Pacers. Nets are not good on back-to-backs. I love the Pacers in this spot. Trailblazers and Magic. The Magic should blow out the Trailblazers because the Trailblazers have everybody hurt. Hawks and Bulls. I'm going to go Hawks with an upset. Suns and Pelicans. I love the Pelicans tonight. All right? I love the Pelicans tonight. The Suns are frauds. The Suns have no identity. They don't play defense. They're not a good team. And I'm tired of people pretending that they are. They have very good players, and we like their players individually. But as a team, they're not good. All right, do I want to talk about anybody else? I'm going to wrap that up. We'll be back Wednesday, all right? 7 games left. We're going to finish strong this week. As soon as the season ends, the first Saturday is the playoffs. So I'm not going to do Saturday, but whenever the season does end, I'm going to do my first team, second team, third team, All-NBA, MVP, Coach of the Year, all the award show, all right? The award show in the draft season is my best because I like to think that I can find some really cool stuff, all right? But that wraps this up. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER podcast, all right? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I don't want to make a TikTok, but if the business needs me to make a TikTok, I'll make a TikTok. I might not even ever be on it. I may have somebody else on the account. But, yeah, you know, listen, hit me up, man. Hit your boy up. Anything you want to talk about. I'm going to have guests soon. But right now it's about reestablishing the brand and just kind of finishing the season strong. Again, I apologize for not being here, but I'm here now. I'm here. We're here together. The playoffs are coming. I didn't forget y'all with the mock drafts. I'm kind of letting the Final Four play out, but that'll be it, all right? Please like, share, and subscribe. I'll talk to y'all soon. Love y'all as always. Peace!